let's just sit and receive God's word together. It's wonderful to worship, to be in his presence together and at home. It's wonderful, such a privilege to bring God's word to you wherever you are listening. And just the simple word, we get back to the Lord doing things in us after the word. So just a simple word this morning, but I believe will have power to change us and to change the world. An influential life, part two. So if you haven't heard part one, I recommend you go back onto the YouTube channel and listen to that, because it will really set you up for what God wants to do. And I also want to just thank God for what God is doing through Soul Winning Course that we as a church have joined. It's been amazing, the first one on Wednesday, and I'm looking forward to that. And all that God is going to do to bring the gospel to our friends and family and our community. So it's going to be an equipping time, and it is this morning an equipping time. In Hebrews chapter 11, if you look there, and you know it's the chapter of the heroes of faith. And it's those people who used their faith, their God-given faith, to please God and do things, a supernatural work for God. And I want to speak about a guy called Jephthah. Okay, so if you've ever read Hebrews 11, he comes in around verse 32. And he's in with kind of a group of Gideon, Barak, and Samson, and then there's Jephthah. Jephthah, an unusual name. I've tried to think of something to make it shorter, Jep, because it's easier, but I don't think I should. So it's Jephthah. And he is a man that God included in this incredible chapter to inspire you and me to do great things for God, to live an influential life. And so we can learn from each one of these people. We can go back through their history in the Old Testament often and come into the New and say, gosh, he made it into Hebrews chapter 11. An amazing guy. He was known as a hero and a champion because he defeated the enemy that was overrunning a country. That's how important his life was. That's how valuable he was to God. And we know he pleased God because faith pleases God. But faith always works in action. It does something. Faith isn't just having something. It moves a life to act and see the power of God. So Jephthah had faith in God. But we're going to look at his story in Judges 11. And he actually had the worst possible start in life. Now, if you want to read a story which is very sad, you can read it here with me in Judges 11. And we're going to read the first three verses first, and then we'll unpack this. Now, Jephthah was a Gileadite. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was the son of a harlot or a prostitute. And Gilead begot Jephthah. Gilead's wife bore sons, and when his sons grew up, they drove Jephthah out and said to him, "You shall have no inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman." Then Jephthah fled from his brothers and dwelt in the land of Tob, which means good. And worthless men banded together with him and went out raiding with him. Okay, so we can read not the champion bit, which is in Hebrews 11, but we can read the beginning of his story. He was born into huge disadvantage. He started life in an awful situation. So his dad sinned and committed probably adultery with a prostitute, and she got pregnant. And because of her business, and she wanted to carry on in that business, she had no love in her heart for this child. He was already unwanted by her, his mother. So imagine the day, if you will, with me, when she takes this little baby and goes to the door of Gilead's home. And his wife happens to answer the door. Maybe he is out at work, Mr. Gilead is out at work, but here we have his boy being presented, didn't even know he had, to his wife. I don't expect that was a very happy home. Can you imagine the scene? She was shocked, hurt, felt betrayed at his unfaithfulness, and she looked at this child, and everything within her didn't want him. But she had to have him, because when Dad came back in, he realized he was responsible, because she just left the child, the prostitute just left the child there and went back to business. And then it says here in his story that as he grew up, the other children born in that family didn't want him either. So she had this cold, he had this cold start where nobody wanted him, where he was rejected, ashamed of his background. He was the son of a prostitute, and they never let him forget it. You can imagine those cruel children growing up. Had no affection, no affirmation, nothing positive towards him. And then when his dad died, what had been simmering resentment of this boy suddenly boiled over. Isn't it amazing when all the protection goes, how anger can boil over? And the boys or the family said, you have no right to the inheritance. So they threw him out into the streets with no one to care for him, no money, and no home. Would you say with me that Jephthah had a bad beginning? He was, as God planned it, and plans it for every child, to grow up in a loving home. But sin and the devil ruin everything. Sin and the devil ruin everything. And this isn't God that did this, but God always plans. So when Jephthah was in his mother's womb, he said, I formed you, I made you, and I've got a plan for your life. A plan to prosper you, not harm you, to give you a hope and a future. But Jephthah didn't have that plan that actually God plans for every child, that you grow up in a loving, committed, faithful home where there is an affirmation and a love and a protection. So Jephthah had a bad start, but the good news is no story has to end bad with God. And only God can change this kind of story, really, because he is the healer of the broken life. And God himself is the one who can heal all pain and all disadvantage and turn it to an advantage. And we read in Hebrews 11, something was very different about this guy than at the beginning. He was a victim of what happened to him. But at the end, he was a champion in God, strong, and able to help many others. And we serve Jesus Christ, who is able to take those who have been the most extreme cases of pain and hurt and bring them out into champions who are strong and whole and healed and conquering every enemy for others' sake. That is who Jesus is today. So what is the lesson to learn from Jephthah's life? Well, I think we need to learn how to process pain, hurt, disappointment. Because he had a whole lot of pain and hurt and disappointment in his life. But somehow he processed that pain well. And we choose personally how we process pain. We can choose. Now, often with lives as ruined and wrecked at the beginning as this boy had, often what can happen without God is they turn to crime. They repeat the same issues in their relationships with others, and they become offenders and haters and those who are angry and just pure mad at everyone and everything. But Jephthah didn't end like this. Something, I must say, someone changed him so that a bit further on, after a bit of time, the same people came back to ask a favor. Think about it. Okay, so the same people who had done this and thrown him out came back to ask a favor. And it says, verse 4, it came to pass after a time, the people of Ammon made war against Israel. So it was when the people of Ammon made war against Israel that the elders of Gilead went to Jephthah from the land of Tob. They said to him, come, be our commander that we may fight against the people. And Jephthah said to the elders, didn't you hate me? Didn't you chuck me out of my father's house? Why have you come now when you're in distress? Well, we've come because we've got an enemy and we need you to help us. So no apology. In that word is no sorry. Okay, so imagine the person in your life who's done the most damage to you comes to you, asks a favor, and never said sorry while asking. Now, we know Jephthah had changed and hadn't become another angry man because he went with them and trusted the Lord to bring about, he used his faith, his relationship with God, to bring about a victory. So Jephthah actually went to help the very people who had tried to destroy his life and made him feel rubbish and no good and nothing. Isn't that an amazing story? Because what can happen to curse, to hurt, to damage us, God can turn us so around that we become a blessing to the very people that tried to hurt us. That's the good news of Jesus Christ, that we don't have to stay full of resentment and disappointment and pain and hurt. We don't have to stay a victim to what's happening to us. And many times, you know, in our lives we face pain and disappointment. People do not treat us well. And I know I'm talking to everybody in the room and everyone listening. The reality is, you can look at your history or even this week and you can say, actually, I have been hurt. I haven't been loved by the people I should have been loved by. People have walked out, walked away, and left me. And they haven't cared at all about my life and my future. There is one who cares more than anyone could ever care. And his name is Jesus. He is the everlasting Father, the best Father, who cares for us. So the question is, how do we take simple steps to deal with pain? How do we process pain so that we don't become bitter, but better? Did you know that bitter people batter? They end up fighting. But people who aren't bitter and deal with the pain and allow God to heal them actually can be used greatly by God to win others and see healing and forgiveness flow. Not retaliation, hard-heartedness, and just pure no fight. God wants to take the wrong fight out of us. God wants to take the wrong fight out of us. I believe that's what the Lord's saying. He wants to take the wrong fight out of us and put the right fight in. The right fight is dealing with the enemy, winning over sin and winning over pain and disappointment. So what to do to take care of our own hearts? Because out of our hearts flow the issues of life. And I know we're in a season where we're going to see such a move of the Holy Spirit. Without question. I have no doubt that there is going to be a move of the Spirit that's going to reach the lost. But let me tell you, if there isn't resolutions in your heart and life, the river can't flow. Because there's a block. There's something going on the inside, and we need to see the release of God through our lives, so that God is able to move in the way he wants to. Not just with the good news, but with signs following. Both the word and power. The word and power. We are living, I believe, on the very edge of what God is about to do. I proclaim it. I declare it, and people say, amen, we'll have that. Thank you, Jesus. So what do we do to take care of the pain and the hurt that happens to us, people do to us, or situations in life that leave us so disappointed? The first thing, simple step, go to Jesus, not to substitutes. Tell you what a substitute is. Actually, I call it substitute painkillers. I thought of that when I was preparing the message. Substitute painkillers. Things that, you know, if you have a headache, you take a paracetamol. Okay? And when you take the paracetamol, it kind of masks the pain. But, you know, when that paracetamol stops working, what happens often? The headache's back. And painkillers can mask or reduce the pain and the hurt and the disappointments. But once you finish going through what you're using, it'll just come back. Jesus is the pain remover. He doesn't dull our pain, he removes it. He heals us. Because he alone can heal a hurting heart. A heart that has been damaged and broken by circumstances of life. So go to Jesus, not to substitutes. Substitutes like, let me list them, alcohol. Do you drink too much? To mask something that actually is hurting. Drugs, people use drugs. Relationships, pornography. People use anything to distract from the very issues on the inside of them that only Jesus can heal. Some people work. They are so driven that all they can do is think about work. And all they do is work, 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 work. And you know, if you imagine if Jephthah had chosen that route, he would have ended up saying, I need to work to show I'm successful. Because often that's what happens, is when there's something of a need of affirmation, because you never got it growing up, is that you've got to prove yourself to be the best of the best. It's all about you, but Jephthah was all about God. Because it was what God did in his life, not what he managed to do, that was the difference. And so these substitutes, these painkillers that last for a little bit, take it out on the family, kick the dog, all kinds of stuff goes on. Just because inside you know things are not right and there's something hurting and I want to blame someone, I want to kick someone, I want to stop this pain. Jesus is the only one. Go to him and pour out your heart to him. And I know this is a simple step, but it is the only step that will result in healing. You have to start where you are, and that is pouring out the pain that's in. So if you imagine you're hurt on the inside, somebody's hurt you or abused you, or you've suffered, and some people in this hearing, in the hearing of this word, have experienced intense pain. But Jesus is the healer of all pains, whether they're little or big. He is the healer of all pain. And so you pour it out. And sometimes, you know, it's in tears, or sometimes it might help you. It doesn't me, but some people like to write out what they're feeling. But you don't just write it as a record and keep reading it. No. You write it out as if you're pouring it out in the presence of God. And then you take that paper and you destroy it. In a safe way, burn it. And I mean it safe. Parental observations required. And or in the bin. Rip it up, shred it, do whatever. But get rid of it and say, Lord, I hand it over to you. Because only when you hand over the pain can you take healing. That's it. It's only when you're giving it to God, can you take from him? You know, Jesus didn't just die for our sins. He died, he took upon himself when he died our griefs and our sorrows. He was known as a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. So in other words, he knows exactly the pain that we feel of rejection, of hurt, of whatever has happened to us, but we can pour it out and give it to him because he cares for us and will heal us. Praise God. The second thing, a simple step. Jephthah had to forgive his mum, his dad, his stepbrothers, his school, the people in the town, people who didn't care for him and threw him out. Do you not think he's a champion? I just love this guy. Wow. And you know, we find it difficult when somebody ignores us in a Christian circle and we think they didn't speak to us. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Get all huffy. And we go, whoa. Pastor didn't even look at me today. And you're like, talk to Jephthah. You know, these little things or big things, we must forgive. Jesus says, forgive as you have been forgiven. You remember the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And Jesus actually says, when you pray, if you have anything, anybody know what anything means? Against anyone, anyone. So it doesn't matter who it is. Forgive them, or your heavenly Father will not forgive you. So there are consequences. Our prayers will not work. Our relationship with God won't work. The Spirit won't move through our lives. When we hold on to unforgiveness, we hold a grudge, and we allow that hurt to simmer away in us and fester like a wound that won't heal. And it produces a poison in your whole life. Forgive as you have been forgiven. I was heard about a story a while ago about a pastor. It's heartbreaking. Bad things happen to pastors too. And his daughter was sexually abused. And he carried on. He'd drive up to the church in tears with his wife in the car, get out and say, "Lord, help me get through this." Minister to the people, get back in the car and weep again. But he said, "The only thing that did it for me was pouring it out to God. Nobody could help me. What happened to my little girl?" And you can imagine how much he would need to forgive. And some of you have been hurt by people. You've never really addressed it. You've kind of put a mask over it. Your family, your brother, your sister, natural or spiritual. And you've never forgiven them. But that pastor, Jephthah, they found it in their own hearts to forgive. And as soon as they did, they became the one that was free. Because we get into a prison. You know, we open the door to the devil if we don't forgive. And I don't want the enemy working in my life. Because he's horrible. And unforgiveness gives him permission to come in and torment us. And he torments. And he's a horrible tormentor. And Jesus says, you've got to close the door first by forgiving and choosing to forgive. I also heard of a lady who read the words of Jesus, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive others." And then she crossed out, if I think about anybody crossing out the word of God, I think, duck, lightning. No fear of God there, is there? Never change the word of God. Don't cross out the bits you don't like and find difficult. Amen. And she crossed out, instead of when Jesus said, "Forgive others as you have been forgiven," she crossed out and said, "Help me forgive." Well, Jesus didn't say, "I'll help you." He said, "Just do it." It's a command. Of course he'll help. But obedience is just do it even though you don't feel it. Just do it even if you don't feel it. Just do it even if you don't feel it, because otherwise you're the captive, not them. You're not free until you forgive. Many people carry emotional hurts. They carry on, you know, they're so sensitive that if somebody does something, they just, whoa, or they go cold and withdraw. Just forgive anyone, everything that they did to hurt you. Clear the deck today, because there's going to be a move of God that you need to be part of. God has called you to be part of. But we've got to forgive those who've hurt us and get rid of the pain of the past and process that pain well. So go to Jesus, not substitutes. Forgive. You know, this week for me, something happened this week. It's confidential. You'll never know. And to be honest, I was really upset, because it's actually attacking someone I love. And you all know what that feels like. Because you know what often happens is second-hand offense. So it didn't happen to you, but it happened to somebody you love. So you get mad with the person that hurt the one you love, and that's it. You're mad. Forgive anyone anything, Jesus says. But actually you're saying, well, they did it to them, so I'm mad. And you know, the Holy Spirit needs to search my heart. I can't preach to you if I'm not doing this. And yesterday morning, I'm on my knees praying in my bedroom. And the Lord, bing! When are you going to forgive the person that did that to the person you love? Oh, now, Lord. Because you know you can hold it without realizing you're holding it. Yeah. And every time you think about them, they cause a Has anybody ever done that? Every time you think of them, whoa, If they come near you or they say anything, whoa, and your defenses are up and you're mad already. They haven't even opened their mouth. They just have to walk in a room. And I realize, actually, how could I even receive anything from God if I don't forgive that offense, that wrong? People do wrong. Jephthah's family were wrong. They sinned against him and the Lord's will. It still doesn't mean we get to say, well, it's not surprising then that you feel like that. That's what the world says. The church says, forgive. Oh, let's go on Twitter and see if we can name it and shame it. Close down your Twitter account if it's not for good news. To build people up, not tear down. Praise God. Jesus came to set us free his way. Another testimony, and I'm not going to go on much longer, I promise. Another story in my life, in my history. Before I got saved, my mum spent years suffering, actually, from cancer. And I'd finished my training, and I got a job in the food industry. And I decided to take a job that was near home so I could live at home and look after her. So I went back home after training and got this job so I could live there and take care of her. And I was the kind of the eldest one. My brother's older than me, but he couldn't do it with his work. And I could live at home and still look after her. And my dad used to work in London. And he would be in London all week and come home for the weekends. And he, I built up such a wall of offense in me against my father. Because all I could see was he would go to London, and then when he came home at the weekends, he'd go and play golf. And I was still looking after Mum, who was suffering and not able to move from her bedroom. And the more this went on, the more resentment and hate and offense came into my heart. I mean, I was nasty. Anybody know? None of you ever been nasty before. But I wasn't nice around my dad. It wasn't, didn't matter what he did, I was critical. It's amazing how a critical spirit often follows a bitter heart. And you lash out and you tear down. And all you can do is see the bad in someone because you're carrying something. You can't see the good. I was blinded by my own offense. You know, offense makes you blind. Offense with someone makes you blind. And all I could see was through my offense towards my dad. Anyway, she actually died at home. And I was there right to the end. My dad really didn't want to be around. After I got saved, I realized it because it was because he couldn't cope. So I saw through the eyes of mercy. But all I could see was through the eyes of offense. It can happen in marriages. It can happen in churches. It can happen with people, believers or families, that all you can do is see through the eyes of offense. And no, you know, reject, push away. Anyway, the glorious day came when Jesus entered my life. And the moment I got saved, I was like, it was a personal, one-on-one, shocking, earth-shattering to me encounter where I said, yes, Lord, whatever. I didn't even want to get saved almost, but suddenly he invaded actually, I was sitting in the car. He invaded me in my car. I got saved. My family couldn't believe it because I was so anti. I got saved. And he put his love in my heart. And as I sat there going, I believe in Jesus. I'm saved. I couldn't believe it. I'm in my car. I can't believe I'm saved. I'm saved. I've become a Christian. I believe in you, Jesus. God was real to me. And in that moment, oh my goodness, I'm different. Do you know why I was so different? I just had this love for my dad. Do you not think that is the greatest miracle of all? Where you've had nothing but hardness of heart and God puts his love in your heart. Of course I forgave him, but it was almost like I've been forgiven so much, how could I not forgive my dad? I was the worst of all sinners, but now I'm forgiven. My debt is paid. You don't have to pay yours. I'll pay. I'll set you free. I won't hold it against you. That's basically what I was saying. Oh my goodness, the freedom and the healing and the life and the power of the Holy Spirit that comes. Old or new hurts, search my heart, Lord. And make sure that there's nothing in me that's holding anything against anyone. I want your spirit to move. I want you to use me. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. All hurts healed. Come, heal my broken heart. And he will. He will. Then ask the Holy Spirit, come and heal me, Lord. Pour out your pain. Forgive. And then ask, Lord, come and heal me. And believe that he is and that he will do what you ask. Believe that he will. Believe. You know, I have been through tough things in life. Being a church leader is one of the hardest things I have ever had to do. Because people hurt me. People hurt those I love. They slander. They walk away like no love in their hearts. There's no love when you can walk. You just don't have love in your heart if you can walk. And I am the most happy, healed person. Because he constantly heals me. I don't let it build and have to go to a conference. I go to Jesus. I pour it out by my bed on my own and say, Lord, I forgive, heal. Back to Jephthah. His name means one who breaks through. He broke through the victim thing. He broke through his start. He broke through his background. He broke through the disappointment. He broke through the anger and the unforgiveness. He forgave those who hurt him. And in fact, he became their deliverer. Wow. Wow. That's the power of God in a believer's life. Who will process pain well. Praise God. Shall we stand? Thank you, Jesus. You're not rubbish. God has chosen you. You're important to God, no matter what people have done to rubbish you. Let me tell you, God loves you. From your womb, from your mother's womb, he created you for such a time as this. Let's pray. Come to him now. Come to Jesus. Lord, we come to you. Wherever, if you're at home, just in whatever way you can, just let's come to Jesus now. He wants to move this morning. Do a powerful work, Lord. But Lord, many of us here have experienced hurts that we've tried to cover up. Forgive us when we've gone to substitutes. Forgive us, Lord, when we've allowed the wounds to fester with unforgiveness and offense. Lord, we freely forgive. We make a choice today to forgive our parents, an uncle, a brother, to forgive a mum, a grandparent, a church leader, to forgive someone in the room, someone not here. Those who should have loved us and didn't, we forgive them. Lord, we've been forgiven so much. You shed your blood. You paid such a high price for our forgiveness. What is it to me that I should just freely forgive those who've hurt and damaged my heart? But Lord, we look to you now. We come to you believing that you are healer. That these wounds are curable with you. That every hurt, every disappointment, every pain, Lord, we pour it out to you and say, Lord, you're the one who can take my pain. As I pour it out to you, I give it to you in this moment in faith. I pour out and hand over. I won't hold on to it any longer. It doesn't identify me. My past isn't my identity. I'm not a victim of what happened to me. My identity isn't wrapped up in what happened to me. My identity is wrapped up in you, Jesus. And Lord, I ask right now that Holy Spirit, you will heal. Heal broken hearts everywhere. Remove disappointments and pain. Lord, you're the one who does it, and I trust you to do it in this moment. Heal your people so we can go and heal the world. Heal your people so we can go and heal the world. That a river of mercy, of forgiveness will flow. A river of love and blessing will flow through our lives. We won't withhold blessing when it's in our power to give, but we'll be channels of blessing to many. I'll give you freedom, Holy Spirit, to work on me and in me in this time, this moment. And Lord, I give you freedom to work through me. Use me to bring the balm of Gilead, that healing grace, to the world around me. Let me know the reality of the power of forgiving and bring the message of forgiveness to the world. Freely I have received, I will freely give. And Lord, thank you that I'll be known as one who breaks through. Because you are the Son of God in me, the one who is the breakthrough. You're the life, Lord. You're the resurrection. You're the ability. You're the power of your people. No wonder we're ones who break through. Because it's your life that breaks through in us. It's your love that breaks through to forgive, to heal, and to become a blessing to those who have cursed us. Lord, I thank you we are here to reverse the curse and see the blessing of God on this generation. So Lord, we the true church rise up in the power of the Holy Spirit as champions in the faith. And thank you that our faith in you, not only will it conquer everything in us, but it will conquer the world around us with your goodness and your love. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that at all times and all seasons we can go to you. You know, if you've been taking substitutes, you might be addicted. And the only way to get free of addiction is to say sorry and ask the Lord to help. And then, like Joseph, don't have anything that you're addicted to in your house. So if it's your computer, get rid of it. I'd rather you had life eternal than sin. Cut off your hand, Jesus said. get rid of it. If it's alcohol, get it out of the house. If it's drugs, get it out. Whatever it is, don't go to substitutes, go to Jesus. Because he isn't the pain reducer, he's the pain eliminator. Praise God for Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Hopefully, all of us will be joining you. We'll be together on Wednesday night. Have a great week. Changing your world.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.